Holy Spirit, I trust as I share this word, may you speak through me, Spirit of God. May lives be transformed for your glory and for your name's sake, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. People, this morning, I've got a word that I just felt like God wanted to bring to us because of what we are facing in this time. Not just in this church, not just in this nation, but worldwide. There's so much confusion in the body of Christ. There's so much division happening. And we need to just trust the Lord to just open our eyes and make us realize who we are, make us realize what we have in Him, so we don't have fall around and be confused. There's too much turmoil and too much division amongst Christians these days. So from that, my own experience, I'll share a bit about that later, my own experience in a church. I grew up as a pastor's kid, a PK. So I know you know, the good and bad about growing up as a PK and having to face all that pressure in school, especially high school. In fact, when I matriculated, you know, I'm not sure if they do this today still, but they normally write on your shirt different things, your friends, you know, you were like this and thank you for that. And one guy wrote, Priester Gunther. Anyways, he's in the mobile now. So yeah, guys, this morning's message is called The Household of Faith. We are a household of faith. We are not an organization. We are a family. And we are here to bring God all the glory and the honor. And I'm going to run through this and read some scripture. And please bear with me. But as I read this, just trust the Holy Spirit. Just to work in your heart. If there are any things in your life that you want to just bring to Him in regards to family life. Some of us didn't grow up in a healthy family. I understand that. My wife and I came back from a trip from Durban in a village called Live Village and with orphans. How many orphans are there? 160 orphan kids. And our hearts were just moved to see these young people, these young kids, just, you know, being a community. And they would actually run up to you, embrace you, hug you, and show you affection and show you love. And it just shows me, no matter your background, if you were adopted or what happened, if your parents forsook you, God never forsakes you. And you have a family, it's called the household of faith. Here we go. 1 Peter chapter 2. So you can read with me. From verse 4 and 5. The chosen stone and His chosen people. Says here, coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. It's very powerful. Jesus Christ being the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. If anything happens to that cornerstone, the building will collapse. And we cannot have a foundation, we cannot have a building without Christ Jesus being the cornerstone. So that's where we start. We start with Christ Jesus. And if anybody is here this morning who doesn't know Jesus Christ, today is your day for salvation. We are chosen by God through Christ Jesus to belong in His house. And I just want to share this, that we never have to feel unaccepted, or you never have to feel like you are an orphan in this house. You are accepted in this house. We are a holy priesthood set apart to bring glory and honor to God. That is what holiness means. Sometimes we think about holiness as being on a mountain and being far away from everybody else and trying to live this holy life. But being holy means to be set apart for God's purposes. God is calling us to be different from this world. Romans 12 verse 2 says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the church is called to be different. God is calling us to reach a certain group of people, and sometimes we have to embrace their culture in order to win them. But we're still called to be different. If the world looks at us and we are still the same as the world, we cannot win them because they look at us as phonies. They think we are hypocrites. So it's a challenge that we need to be different. We need to be set apart. Okay, now this point one, point two. If you can just on the slide go to point two, please. From darkness to light. The scripture there is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now the people of God. We had not obeyed mercy, we had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And just notice that you were not a people before, but now you are a people. You once were darkness, but now you are in the light. Praise God. Colossians 1 verse 13, in the Amplified Version. The Father has delivered and drawn us. I love that. He has drawn us to himself out of the control and dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Isn't that powerful? We once were darkness, but now we are in the light. And there's that miraculous transferring happening. And it's only happening in Christ through the Spirit of God. So as believers, we are now in God's kingdom. We are chosen and we are appointed. Through the Spirit of God, God has placed gifts in us. He's placed certain grace on us. He's placed certain skills on us that needs to be developed. And each of us are unique. You never have to ever compete with anybody else. You never have to feel like you are inadequate. And I think that's where the enemy gets right. He puts pressure on us to perform. He puts pressure on us to become somebody we are not. And God is calling us to embrace our individuality, to embrace our gifting, to impart that to others. So we should not be like the world. I already mentioned that. We need not look for acceptance in this world. We are already accepted in his beloved household of faith. And that's the challenge, I think, for many Christians. Because there's so much pressure on us to become somebody and to conform to this world, there's pressure on us to be different. We see it in the music industry. Many Christian bands, they don't use Jesus anymore in their songs because they want to be acceptable for the radio station. And that's just sad to see that sometimes, that where are the good old Christian bands? I actually went back to my archives, 80s and 90s. Petra and Carmen and DC Talk. Anybody remember those guys? Whoa. 13 over, right? Amen. So, and it was Jesus. It was straightforward, non-compromising word. And I think the enemy, there's this balance to one a cult, to one a nation and embracing the culture, but not to water down the message. So let's stay true to the message. Point number three, being in a household of faith, we need to walk in humility and submission. Something we don't like to hear, submission and humility. But the word is very clear about that. Proverbs 15, verse 31. The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul. Wow. But he who heeds a rebuke gets understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. We sometimes want to exalt ourselves and be who we are not, or try to jump ahead of God's timing. And God has a process in the body of Christ. It's called walking in humility, walking in submission. Because in that place of humility, God exposes things in our lives. And God wants to build character and build a strong foundation, because when the storms of life come, we will not deviate from the truth. Amen. A spirit of humility welcomes correction. That's what it says here in Proverbs. And I love this verse, Proverbs 27, verse 5. It says the open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. And I think Pastor JJ preached on that a few weeks ago about tough love. And we need to love each other. We need to be kind and affectionate to one another. But it's a place where we need to speak the truth in love. And I've spoken to a few friends of mine. I said, guys, be tough with me. Don't tell me you love me, but you're not straight with me. Because we're living in a real world. The Bible says the power of sin lies in its secrecy. Some of us are bound in addictions. Some of us are bound in fear and in depression and cycles of sin. We can't get out of it because we hide it in the darkness. The Word of God exposes it, and our brothers and sisters are used by God to bring those things into the light. So being part of the household of faith is to belong to a family, amen, but also to get a rebuke. Excuse me. Who likes a rebuke? The other word is to be reprimanded. I think it's a nicer word. I don't know. But, yeah, spirit of humility recognizes the gifting in another person in order to receive from him or her. If we don't recognize the gifting in our fellow man or fellow sister, we will not ever receive from that person because we are judgmental. And we try to only pretend that we are the only ones with the gift. So we need to admit when we are wrong. That's a tough thing sometimes. We never want to admit when we are wrong. I need to admit that I need to put my watch here so I can follow the time. And point number four. Am I my brother's keeper? That sounds familiar. Am I my brother's keeper? Remember the story of Cain and Abel? Genesis chapter 4, verse 9. Then the Lord said to Cain, when Cain murdered his brother, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, very arrogantly, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And that's sometimes added to you today. I put that verse there specifically because we sometimes lack that in our church, in our community. Am I really my brother's keeper? He can sort himself out. The Holy Spirit will convict him. That's true. The Holy Spirit is powerful to convict, to reveal truth to that person in a dream or in a vision. But God has used flesh and blood, uses flesh and blood, people like us, to speak to that person, to have straight talk. I'm so thankful to Yalmut for organizing a men's breakfast. Where are you, Yalmut? Thanks, brother. We'll do it again sometime. Simply because, not just to eat, but to have a one-on-one conversation, that straight talk. And we need that. Everybody needs that. We see it in our small groups. And I trust God that in the next few weeks and months, that we will really embrace the culture of, you know, not being afraid to open up and not being afraid to correct, not be afraid to actually ask straight questions. Because we all can pretend. That's what the enemy gets right. He wants us to pretend, and it appears that we all are doing okay, but we're not okay. There's sometimes things in our lives that we don't want to show to people because of pride. And pride is one thing that kicks Satan out of heaven, and we don't want that. And then being transparent, that's the key to bring things into the light. God sometimes appoints us to take the place of an intercessor. I'm going to talk about that for a minute. To be an intercessor is not only to pray for nations out there. We prayed for the team who went to Greece. And we had you guys in our hearts every day. Welcome back, by the way. It's good to have you guys. So give them a hand, please. JJ will be sharing next week about the missions, or soon. And we're so thankful for that. But yeah, being an intercessor, yes, is to pray for people what God lays on your heart, but also to keep a watch over your neighbor. Not just the neighbor next to you, but your brother and your sister. Am I my brother's keeper? So there's a lot of lonely people in church. I realize that. People are lonely, and people try to find satisfaction and find affection and acceptance in the wrong places. It's not just the pressure on our teenagers. It's happening with everyone, all of us. And because of the society we live in, we try to perform, we try to aspire to this image so we can look good. Thank God I'm over that. I've been a teenager, went to college, I've been at Stellenbosch, where it's all about image and glamour, but that means nothing to me. God has delivered me. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. I feel good, but I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm accepted in this church. This is the household of faith. Then point number five, koinonia. I'm not sure if you guys heard about that word. It's a Greek word. And this is the meaning, Christian fellowship or communion with God, or more commonly, notice this, with fellow Christians. That's koinonia. That is community. Praise God, we can fellowship with our people, our friends and colleagues, to a certain degree. But there's this intimate fellowship that happens only in Christian circles. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I'm going to read that again. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Now that is actually saying that people are forsaking the fellowship. People are in the habit of not gathering together. That's why we have small groups. We thank God for times like this, to meet like this, where we can celebrate, we can worship together, and there's this corporate anointing. But in the small group, there's so much more happening there. There's the one-on-one, face-to-face fellowship. And Paul was saying here that there are people actually that try to avoid that because for them it wasn't anything important. And there's too many people that think they are a one-man thing. In the previews, there's always this guy that says, one man, one vision, this here, Arnold Schwarzenegger. In the church, there's no one man. There's no one-man show. Maybe back in the day, God used the mighty men of God to bring miracles and healings and the word of faith and prophetic word and stirred us up as Christians. But today, it's all of us. We're sending JJ and the team to go places, but it's all of us as a community, as a church. So there are no solo Christians in this world. Amen. Exhortation, encouragement happens as we fellowship. In our fellowship, in our gathering together, we actually can impart grace. We can impart truth. It's never a case of trying to just have a social club. If we're just trying to have a social club, we can just forget it. You know, we are together for a purpose. We edify one another. There's a scripture in the Proverbs. I like to share this with my guy friends. As iron sharpens iron, so a brother sharpens the other brother. Basically, bolt his countenance, lifts him up. Point number six. I love this one. Charity starts at home. And we can so much focus on our giftings and our giving to go somewhere else, which is good. And we do that in this church. We do give to other organizations. God's called us to do that. But more importantly, it starts in this fellowship. It starts in this house. Because if we're not fed, if we're not clothed, if we are not looked after, how can we effectively bless other people? And it's a challenge I believe God wants to do today, give to us today. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. It says here, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to the household of faith. And that's who we are. We are the household of faith. And let us do good to all, but especially to the household of faith. I don't know about you, but I've noticed amongst other communities, especially the Muslim and the Jewish communities, how they live, especially in family and in business. They're very tight. All the money stays in the family, stays amongst them. If I'm a dentist and I need to go, or if somebody has a toothache, they come to me. If I'm a Jew, if I'm a Muslim. And if I need to do business, I go to another Muslim because the money stays in the community. How much more the church? And I think we can learn from that because God has called us to be a community. God has called us to be one. And I pray that we will actually have that happening in our circles. And it's about revival. We talk about revival. Revival is happening when the word of God is being spread, but also when we find, when we see love amongst us. Jesus said, by our love, the world will be drawn to him. The world will know that he's alive. And I see that revival, type of revival happening in Acts chapter 2, verse 44. Now all who believed were together. Yeah, that's a good start. You know, we're sometimes so scattered. All who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. That's powerful. That is revival happening right there. Verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So we see such a beautiful picture of people being together, sharing their bread and having fellowship and singing songs to the Lord and giving with gladness. And that's a response when there's genuine fellowship. You give from a place of gladness and gratitude. And there was such unity in early church members that giving became natural. You know, we can try to put on a mask and try to give and do a charity thing and go there and go there. But if it's not natural, it's not coming from a heart that's overflowing with God's grace and God's goodness. They were sensitive to each other's needs and gave with gladness. Jesus said in Acts 20 verse 35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And it's not just money, it's not just material stuff, but it's of your time, it's of your energy. It's just simply being sensitive to your brother's need or your sister's need. How are you doing? You know, just a pat on the back. Well done. That's sometimes something we don't see in the church anymore. And talking about blessing, the flow of blessing. If you look at a dam, the water is stagnant. I get in trouble sometimes for leaving water in the sink. And if staying there for a couple of hours, it starts to give off an odor. But if it's a river, there's life. I'm very transparent. I don't care. If it's a river, there's life. And God wants us to be a river. If you're a dam, you hoard. You keep the stuff to yourself. And there's, after a while, you start to stink. You start to smell. And the world will see that. But if we are a channel of God's blessing coming to you and going through you towards another person, that's a flow of God's blessing. And I pray we will see that more and more in our church. And quite honestly, I see that in this church. I really see that happening more and more. I go to many other Christian shofar churches, and I see people sometimes, there's so much this thing of wanting to have, can I say this now without offending anybody? We can become such a big organization at times that you become just a number. It's not just shofar, it's other churches. It becomes just a number, but we thank God. We are going to get bigger than this, definitely, but let's not forget that we are a person and you have a name. Because God's going to multiply this church. We're going to explode. We're going to get people from all nations and backgrounds into this church. And God's going to bring great revival. Amen. The last point, good stewards of God's grace. Listen, the accountancy will know more about being a steward. I'm going to read the scripture, 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 7, serving for God's glory. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling, as each one has received a gift. Minister that gift, minister it to one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I love that. Each has received a gift. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God's grace is manifold. God's grace is diverse. God's grace comes in different forms and shapes. And God chooses to put that in us and to release it through us. So I just mentioned here, each of us has something to give to the family of God. Never feel inadequate. Never feel like you have not arrived yet. No one has arrived yet. Because God's desire is to see the kingdom grow. We live near Cape Caton. There's this new development there. Man, they build this place like mad. It just goes up. Every time I drive past it, there's another layer of bricks. But the amazing thing is, every bricklayer, every person there has a part to play. I think JJ preached on this last year in our big groups about every person having his part in the body of Christ. And before you know it, there will be a building. Before you know it, there will be first a foundation, then a building. So we are the vessels God chooses to impart His grace into other people. And I just wanted to share this word. It's a short word. But I just feel like there is something coming our way. The enemy is going to try to bring division. He's going to try to bring confusion to us. Because God commands His blessing when there is agreement and where there is unity. Where some of us might not see it right now, but I just feel in the spirit the enemy is going to try to bring confusion and bring division. And I've seen it. I've been in church circles. Like I said, I grew up as a pastor's kid. And I've seen this thing happening over and over again. One minute you see there's revival happening. We sing songs together. We worship together. We say amen to the pastor there. But then we get offended for something. Something pastor maybe said to you or whatever. And God doesn't want us to get offended over silly things. If we are hurt, and this is my, I want to make an altar call actually. If you are hurt, and if somebody in church has offended you or hurt you and you feel offended, I want to make this opportunity available for you guys to just bring it before the Lord, because His desire is for you to grow up. His desire is for you to actually feel a part of this family. Not only to feel a part of this family, but to embrace your calling and to embrace your gifting so you can release it to others as well. And Psalms, that David says, a broken spirit and a contrite heart, these, O Lord, you will not despise. So if you feel broken this morning, you're at the right place. And if you're at the press this morning, you're also at the right place. This is also what I sensed this morning in this week, that a lot of us struggle with depression, a lot of us struggle with feelings of loneliness and guilt and inadequacy for many reasons. Like I said, sometimes because of our upbringing, there was not a father figure or whatever, and we bring that baggage to the church and we expect the pastor to do this and do that, but he's a human being. The leaders, all of us, we are human beings and we make mistakes, and we need to take that guilt and hurt to the Lord. And because God doesn't want you to be a broken reed all the time. He actually wants you to take your place in His kingdom and to have a voice and to speak. Then there's another group of people here this morning. If you're sick in your body, and like Martin shared this morning, God is a God of miracles. He's a God that still heals today, emotionally, physically, relationally. God can heal. And I've seen it in my own life, actually. When I had problems with my eyes as well, by the way, I wore glasses for many years. Went to the doctor said, it's just what you have to do. You're going to wear glasses the rest of your life. I stood on God's word. I claimed my healing. But shortly after, I met Karen, actually. I said, no, I need to see her without my glasses. And one day, for some reason, I took my glasses off, and the one glass fell off, and it broke, and I could see clearly. God delivered me and healed me right there. And it sometimes takes a woman to do that. But so grateful for that, and many, many testimonies of God's healing and God's faithfulness. And then lastly, growing up in the church, I wanted to get out a bit. I wanted to do things on my own. I grew up in a close family, my brothers and You know, we love each other very much. My dad is turning 70 tomorrow. We're having a big party for him today. Still going strong. But I felt to go out a bit and do things on my own. To have be a solo Christian. Didn't work out too well. For a time it was okay. But I didn't have the relationship with the body of Christ. I felt like, okay, I know it all now. I grew up in the Word of God. I can actually be on my own for a while. Went overseas, came back, didn't go to the church. And God had to do a deep work in me, but I had to confess it first. I didn't know what was going on. I had to actually recognize the offense for what it was. Praise God, coffee is coming. I had to realize the offense for what it was, and then God could heal me. And to make a long story short, I am accepted in the Beloved. So the many of us feel like that sometimes, that we can do it on our own. We cannot. We need the body of Christ. Many nations suffer persecution today because the pressure from government and other groups, they cannot gather like this. They cannot worship like this. They cannot hear the word of God like this. We are privileged. So this morning, I want us to thank God for having the privilege still to worship like this, because persecution is coming, whether you like it or not, to this nation. But I pray that it will not happen soon, because there's a lot that needs to fall into place still. And God's going to build our faith. He's going to use each and every one of us to be history makers in this nation. Whether you're small, whether you're big, whatever, God's going to use you. So this morning, I'm going to pray for us. And I'm going to ask people just to respond to the testimony from earlier. And just to respond to this word. If you have any offense, any bitterness, any hurt in your life, if you cannot relate to anything, if you feel like you are not welcomed here, I don't want you to feel like that. I want you to feel welcomed here. I want you to feel like you are accepted in the Beloved. Let's close our eyes and let's trust the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts, as He is faithful to confirm the word with signs and wonders. Father God, this morning, we thank you, Father, that you are the one who never changed. Jesus Christ, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are the miracle working God. Jesus Christ, you are the Prince of Peace. In the midst of chaos, I speak peace over people this morning. In the midst of turmoil and fear and depression, I speak peace in the name of Jesus. I take authority of every spirit that wants to arrest the people of God this morning. I want to keep them in bondage and in fear and in guilt and feelings of inadequacy. I bind that in Jesus' name. Now, Father God, I thank you for your spirit that's at work this morning. Thank you, Father God, that we have this amazing place, Lord, to worship you. Thank you for the household of faith. Jesus Christ, you're the chief cornerstone. And Father God, together we can celebrate life. We can celebrate Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for giftings in us. Thank you, Father God, for skills you've placed in us, that none of us have to feel like we don't belong. And I rebuke that thought in Jesus' name. We are accepted in the Beloved. If you're feeling here this morning that you need to respond, please come forward. While God's presence is here, and while God is stirring hearts, please come forward so we can pray for you. And God is going to use you mightily. God is going to use, we can see that happening amongst the youth. We can see it happening amongst the kids. God is bringing words through the kids that I think, wow, that's pretty amazing. So God is at work, people. So let's just respond as our brother plays a song for us. Let's just give time for the Spirit of God to work in us. Let's stand, everybody, and just respond to the word and worship. Thank you.
just want to challenge us again. Are there anyone still who wants to come forward for prayer? I mean, every one of us get offended in life. And church is not a perfect place. But sometimes people do get hurt. I want to encourage you to come forward. And if you don't feel like you belong, or you struggle to fit into your cell group, or you struggle to fit into being a Christian in a household of faith, please come forward. Let us pray with you. And if there's anyone who's got any sickness in their body this morning, anything, please come forward. Let us pray with you. And don't go away from God's presence today and not allow Him to work in your life. Please.